You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Hey, if we've never met, my name's Derek, and I'm the lead pastor here. I'm so glad that you have chosen to come and worship with us today. It's especially special because if you love Christmas, it all begins now, and we're so hopeful and we're so excited to be celebrating Christmas together over the rest of this month, and we're so glad that you're joining us in this conversation that we're starting today called Hope is Here. And it's really a dream of ours that we as a church would not only be aware that hope is here, but that, like Heather said, we can become hope to the world around us, to the city around us. And so we want to step into that this morning. The title of this morning's talk is called He Will Be Called. And I want to read this passage and then get into it here. It says this in Isaiah 9:6. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." This is a passage that we refer to often and we step into around the Christmas season as we start to understand exactly what it was that the Jewish people were anticipating, what they were waiting for years and years and years. And in this specific prophecy was 700 years before Jesus would ever come to earth. And as I was thinking about this and really meditating on it, one of the things that surprised me the most, in fact, impressed me the most, and I know that God is all powerful and can do whatever he wants, but the thing that impressed me the most is that God, 700 years ahead of his son coming, knew what he would call him. See, because we just went through this as parents. Many of you know that we just had our third baby, and it's just been so fun to dream about and anticipate our third baby coming into the world. But the most horrifying, most horrific part of the whole thing about having a child is picking a name. Any of you guys expecting? Okay, cool. Don't make this your announcement if you haven't announced it yet. Some of you guys just slipped up. But yeah, we have a few moms expecting, and some of you, it's maybe not your first child, but some of you are, and I've just got to warn you, if you're a new parent, the worst part is picking a name. It's by far the worst part, because there's all of these rules associated with choosing a name that you don't know until you get into it. Like, my wife and I, we had this shared note on our phone, and we were marking down all of these names that we liked, and we'd fall in love with some of these names, and then all of a sudden, we would realize that these names that I like might be off limit because maybe Laurel dated somebody with that name, or maybe she loved a name and it was off limits because I tried to date somebody with that name and it never worked out. Or maybe your parents know somebody with that name and they don't think they're cool or they don't like them, and there's all of these crazy rules that come with it. And then you get into the significance of the meaning of names. And so you finally, like, find a name that you love, and then you go check Wikipedia, and you realize that it means something awful. And you're like, I don't know, there's this real thing that happens with names, and you see it all throughout the scriptures. There's significance when you're choosing a name for someone. It's prophetic, it's a bit of a prophecy that you can speak over your child. In fact, you can choose a name that would have a meaning that you would hope that your children would live up to. But it seems like sometimes we miss that, and I love these little silly things, like people who name their kids without really thinking through it, like the Mann family, who named their daughter Anita, and her name was Anita Mann, and it's like that, I don't think they thought through that, or the Wright family, who named their child Eileen, and her name was Eileen Wright, and it was like, the worst one is the Price family, who named their daughter Lois. And I think it must have happened around Black Friday. Like Lois Price, I don't know, it's just on there. I know, where's Kelsey when I need her? I need my dad joke laugher. These are true names. These are real names. But in all seriousness, we really took to heart what we would name our daughter, because we kind of missed it with our son. We named him Blake and then realized it meant like hairy black-haired child. And he's like this blonde little toehead. So we're like, okay, we kind of missed that. We know that our daughter Kira, it means like woman of great wisdom, which is cool. And so we thought our daughter Aubrey would have to have this really significant meaning and this prophetic voice that we would speak over her. And what it actually means is ruler of the elves. And it's just one of those things where, like, you can try your hardest, and no matter how many rules there are, you're gonna fail as you're trying to pick a name. We finally fell in love with this name, and we're like, you know, we're not even gonna look. We're not even gonna look what Wikipedia says. We love the name Aubrey. It's beautiful. We named her middle name after my mother, who's here with us this morning, visiting to meet her for the week. We can clap my mom up. Come on. And so we named her Aubrey Ellen, and then we realized she would be the ruler of the elves. So, I mean, Christmas is right around the corner. I think we're just going to roll with it and kind of own it a little bit. But that, I don't think that's exactly what God was intending to do when 700 years before Jesus came, he would give this vision, he would give this prophetic insight to someone that would give meaning to, that would help us begin to comprehend and understand the very essence and nature of who God is with us. And it's neat to see that all throughout the scriptures, there's so many names that Jesus goes by, because I think it's almost impossible for us, it is impossible for us to fully grasp and comprehend, but there's these four names in this passage that I think speak to so much, and we could spend a year unpacking these. But this morning, I just want to sit with this one for a moment, Wonderful Counselor. I think this name, Wonderful Counselor, it's this name that he would be called that I think can really help us in this season of the holidays. Wonderful Counselor, it's a word that might come with some baggage for some of us because, well, if you have an intimate relationship with a counselor, you're either really, really healthy or you're really, really unhealthy. Or maybe you are on the path between those two things. But counselor isn't always fun. It's not always easy to go, hey, I need a counselor. I need to go find a counselor. And I don't know about you, but there's probably times where you think your counselor, if you have one, is wonderful, but most of the time you probably don't appreciate them that much because they expose things in us that maybe we would rather not. But the name itself, Wonderful Counselor, in the Hebrew, it's this word Pele Yoaz, and Pele is this word that basically describes this idea that there are no words. Pele, it's this lack of words. It's this too big to comprehend, too big to understand. And then Yoaz is this word counselor. It's this beautiful picture of this idea that hope is actually here. And I think that's an interesting thing to think about. I think hope is here. That's such an interesting phrase. Because hope is really about the gap between what is and what if. Hope is usually that thing that we anticipate. It's the thing that we're hoping for or yearning for, the thing that we wish would happen. But it's an interesting thing to say that hope is here. That it's no longer a thing that we're anticipating or a thing that we have to wait for, but it's something that is here now in the presence. And I think this word counselor, it helps us understand that. It helps us wrap our mind around exactly what it would mean for God to be with us, to sit with us. And I love that when Jesus came into the world and lived his life and did all that he did, later on in the scriptures it would say this in Hebrews 4:15 about him. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I love this picture that it paints, that that Jesus is not just a wonderful counselor, but he's a counselor who's been where we've been. I think sometimes it's easy to go to the experts who maybe read about it in a book, but it's a whole nother thing to go sit with someone who's been through what you've been through. That significant time of need that you may find yourself in life is this place where we need to find people who have been through what we've been through, who can sit with us in our pain, who can walk with us in our chaos. And I think that the name Wonderful Counselor, it points to this idea that Jesus has experienced what we have gone through. He has gone through it, and he's willing to go through it with us. And I can't help but believe that for you and for me, that this season, we can find ourselves in a significant time of need, like the scriptures point to. That we can approach the throne of grace, that we can show up to God, that we can go into the counseling chair with Jesus, that we can approach him even in our time of need. And so I'm curious this morning for you what that time of need might be in your own life. I'm curious this morning if for you, like me, the holidays are this magnifying glass that can shed light on, they can expand and they can expose and they can make the good things look better than they actually are. And they can make the bad things look worse than they actually are. And as we step into this season of the holidays of Christmas, there's so many reminders and pointers to all of the things in our life that might be a time of need for us. Just this morning on my way into church, I got a phone call from one of my closest friends, and I got to tell you, he and his family have been through the worst of the worst of the worst in the last 2 years. I mean, it couldn't get any worse. You couldn't kick them while they were down any further. And he called me this morning broken because it got worse, because something else happened that was unforeseeable to the point of breaking. And I wonder for us if we can be honest for a moment this morning and take an inward look and begin to peel back the layers and see if we might find ourselves here in this significant time of need. Maybe for you, it's an ongoing thing. Maybe you battle with depression. And maybe this time of year, it just makes it worse. And depression is one of those things. And anxiety is this other thing that is so frustrating because there's hardly ever anything to point to why you feel the way you feel. But this overwhelming sense of hopelessness and this overwhelming sense of despair that you can't talk your way out of or think your way out of. And maybe that's where you're at this season. And for you, maybe it's not even a season. Maybe it's this constant thing where you find yourself. Maybe for you, you're stressed out of your mind. All of the moving pieces going on with the holidays. You've got family coming into town. You're flying out of town. You got to arrange things for the in-laws to be there. You've got to cook the perfect meal. You got to host the perfect dinner. Maybe you signed up and said yes to too many things at church. Maybe you just have all of these things going on. Maybe the year's coming to an end and you're realizing that it didn't materialize the way you wished it would have. Maybe you're beginning to face some of your failures or things that you're struggling with. Maybe it's financial stress. As the year winds down and things aren't adding up, the bank account's looking smaller and smaller. Or perhaps maybe you suffer from one of the most dominant and prominent things in our society, which is loneliness. Which is crazy that you can sit shoulder to shoulder with hundreds of humans and still feel alone. And so I wonder this morning if we could peel back the layers and begin to rest in this. I love what Jesus says in Mark 2:17. He says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Maybe we can rest in that this morning. Maybe we can just stop from trying to have it all together and just reflect for a moment. And maybe you're in a great place. Maybe none of what I've just spoken of is true of you. Maybe you are in the most grateful, most best position of your life. Maybe you're getting married in a couple weeks, and the stress of that isn't overwhelming, and there's no details to finish, and it's just all bliss and cloud nine. But maybe you're in a space where you have so much to be grateful for. But what I want to do for a moment is I want to reflect, and I want to invite Dan up to play some music just for a minute. And in your bags that you guys got on the way in, there is a little tag, a little gift tag. And there's a pin. And I want you guys to pull those out. And we're going to bring the house lights up just a little bit so you can actually see. And some of you, you know automatically what's going on in your life. You know it. But I think one of the most important things when you go into a counseling session or when you go into a moment with someone who you're going to walk with, perhaps one of the most helpful things to do is be able to name your need. To name your need. The scriptures say this in Psalms 55:22. It says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. I think so many times you can bring the house lights up a little bit. I think so many times we don't even know how to articulate what it is that we need. You might feel it, you might sense it, but you don't know how to say it. And I think sometimes we need to even just stop looking for the right language and just call it something. Call it whatever you want. Name it. Call it something. You don't have to use the most poetic words or the most beautiful words, but you got to say it so that you can release it. And so for a moment, as Dan plays, I just want you to think. I want you to name your need. Maybe it's something that you need greatly, or maybe something that you need to give away, to give someone else. But I want you to write that down for a moment. I don't know what you wrote. I don't know what you called it, what language you would use, but God knows your need. The wonderful counselor, the one who is wonderful enough to sit with us, who's experienced everything that we've gone through. He knows our need. And what I want to do through this spiritual practice is to name our need so that we become aware of it. So that we know how to submit it, to confess it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. As our wonderful counselor, he doesn't just sit with us and give us good advice. The scriptures say that he chooses to cleanse us and give us life. I love that. Jesus isn't about just advice. He brings life. Thank you, Dan, for playing a bit of music for us. We could keep him playing the whole time. It'd be so much more poignant. But as I was thinking through what I would maybe write this morning, I've been having to be real honest with myself as I've wrestled through even writing this talk. What is my greatest need? What is the thing that I'm struggling with the most? And I mean, stress is obviously one of those things that affects all of us, and I've got a lot of things going on. I've got a new baby at home. I'm studying for the captain's exam at work, and obviously a church to lead and a family to support, and all of these things. I really care much about being a great husband and a good father. And but to be honest with you guys, my biggest, I wrote down insecurity. And my biggest insecurity is not how I perform on my job as a fireman. I'm pretty confident in that. I know I'm a wonderful husband. I know that I'm like a fantastic dad who does it everything right and especially good at choosing names for our children. But to be honest with you guys, my biggest insecurity is being your pastor. And it is a heavy thing to know that the decisions I make and the team makes, that we are doing good with what God has given us. That we are making the right choices and the right decisions. And there's a constant voice in my head that we're doing it wrong. That we keep making mistakes, that we hurt somebody, or we set somebody up to fail, or we didn't step in when we could have, or we didn't do all that we could have done. And it is this daunting, overwhelming sense of insecurity that I am just not equipped to be your pastor. And that's a very real thing, and I want to be strong and like shake it off and know I'm confident and, you know, lead by example and get it together and act like you know what you're doing. And I'm good at that sometimes, but, you know, when you take time to really reflect, and this has been a season for me of really a few months, being secure in my insecurity, to just name it, to just call it out, to be really honest with the pastoral staff here and go, I don't know, do you? And they're like, no, we don't know either. And it's been really freeing for me to name it, to just step into transparency and honesty and not pretend like we have it all together or that I have it all together. And I hope that this morning, as you found language for, maybe you picked a terrible name like Aubrey to call it, like a ruler of elves, you know, call it whatever you want, but it's a helpful thing to step into it and to name it, because our wonderful counselor, he's here to hear it. And he wants to sit with us in it. And it's in the moment where we can say it and we can just give it to God, and he can speak back to us. That's the crazy thing about the wonderful counselor. Like they say, a great counselor just listens. But if we're honest, we really want some good advice. Don't you hate that? You go sit with someone, and if they just talk at you, you don't feel like they heard you. But if they don't say anything, you're like, tell me what to do. And so many times we just need to know what the next step is, what the next thing is. And what I love about Jesus as the wonderful counselor is that he doesn't just hear us. He doesn't just listen to us. He doesn't just sit with us. But he also speaks. And my next point is kind of cheesy, but it's hark the herald. So name your need, and then hark the herald. What hark means, it means to listen to give your attention to. And what herald means, it's a messenger. It's somebody coming with something to tell you. And the truth of the matter is that God doesn't just hear our cries, he speaks to us. And it would behoove us not only to name our need, but to hark the herald, to listen to what God is saying to us. And I know what you're saying. Gosh, Derek, don't go there again. I've tried listening. I don't know what he sounds like. I don't know what the voice of God sounds like. And how many times do you find yourself in this situation where you're like, I think that's God, but I'm not sure. And so you go to someone else, and you're like, I think God told me this. And they're like, I don't know. How does God speak? How does the wonderful counselor give us advice? How does he step into our lives? I don't know how he's going to speak to you, but I know how he's spoken to me. And he's spoken to me time and time again in many different ways. God has spoken to me over and over and over again through the scriptures as I understand the narrative and the nature of God. God has spoken to me over and over and over again through my wife. Like the loudest voice of God is Laurel Miller. where she can point out to me my weaknesses, and she can sit with me in grace, and she can show me what it means to practice patience and kindness. God speaks to me through Mark and Jess and Shalise and our pastoral staff, our elder team. God speaks to me through secular music and the wind and the waves and beauty and my children. But how do we know how to hear when it's God and when it's not? Practice. You do everything you can to try to discern and hear from God. Try to hark the herald. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And you will learn to know the voice of God through your obedience. You will learn to know the voice of God when you practice this last point. If he says it, do it. If he says it, do it. He's never going to lead you astray. He might lead you onto the edge of teetering for your life. He might lead you to the edge of risking greatly. But he will never lead you into your demise. And if you do something that you thought was God and it wasn't, it won't work out. And I love this idea that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then do what we want. See, because when your heart and your soul and your mind get tuned into God, then so do your desires. See, when you long to honor God and hear from God, he will shift the very essence of your being. You'll be able to trust your gut. God will be able to speak through your conscience and speak through nature and speak through your community and speak even through this guy up here who most of the time doesn't feel like he knows what he's doing. So we should name our need and we should hark the herald. But last, if he says it, do it. John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. It does us no good if we hear from God and we stay paralyzed. And I got to believe that in this room, there's a lot of you who know exactly what you need to do, and you are struggling to do it. You know it. In fact, you're upset you know it, because ignorance is bliss. It's so much better when you don't know, and then all of a sudden God sneaks it in, and all of a sudden you know. That thing? I got to do that? No. No, God, that's going to be too troubling. That's going to cause too much chaos. I mean, maybe you're here this morning and you're in a relationship that you know is headed nowhere. You're pulling a me. I'm not looking at you two. Get married. Maybe you're pulling a me. I was in a relationship for years before I met Laurel. Very nice girl. Knew I wasn't going to marry her. Stayed in it because it was comfortable. And I didn't want to hurt her. And maybe you're in a relationship and God is telling, it's time to end it. You already know it. You don't even need to hear it from him. You already know it. And God says, you'll know you're my friends if you do what I command. If God's saying it, do it. Risk everything and do it. Maybe you're here this morning and you are in over your head financially. Your credit card after credit card after credit card. And you will never, ever, ever get out of debt unless you risk it all. You downsize. You live with a roommate. You put a bunk bed in a room and share a room. You do whatever you got to do. You sell the car. You get an extra job. You do those things that you know you need to do, but they're just so difficult. It's going to cost me my time or my energy, or I got to give up this toy or this thing. Maybe you're here this morning and it's even more complicated. You've got stuff hidden so deep in you that you don't even see it. You have addictions and habits and dysfunctions that are so buried deep in you that you can't even see them anymore. You're believing your own lies. And I believe that God can shake you and he could bring that to the surface and he could shed light on that. And your freedom will come when you hear from God and you step into it. Or maybe you're here and you've got a fragmented family and you have to face the music this Christmas season. You're still hung over from Thanksgiving of the family drama. And you got to face it again in a couple weeks. Maybe you got to go to some wedding and see a bunch of people you used to date. There's relational strife, and you know that you need to step into it and heal it. You already, God already spoke, and you know it. If he says it, do it. He is the wonderful counselor who doesn't just hear us when we name our need, but he speaks to us. He is the herald, and we should hark that herald. We should listen to that herald, and then when he says it, we should do it. That is the God that we serve, the beautiful and mighty and awe-inspiring and wonderful counselor that he is. The good news of Jesus is that when those words were written about him, they had to wait 700 years for this to come into reality. The good news for us is that there's no more waiting. That the hope of God, it's here. It's not that thing that will be then and there, not that thing to tackle in 2018. It's not the thing that you hope you get around to at the end of the year. It's not the thing that you just keep waiting on. The idea of God is that he is here, that hope is here, that he is the wonderful, mighty counselor that you can sit with, and he will hear from you, and he will speak to you, and it is up to us if we will step into the freedom that he's calling us into. And I believe that this Christmas season is our time. It's our moment to face all of it and step into it and say, God, I need you more now than ever. The scriptures say this, not only that there's no more waiting, but in John 1:4, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Don't be scared. Your darkness has no match to his light. Your darkness has no match to his light. There is nothing in you that he doesn't already know, and he's waiting for you to know it too. And so this morning, I want to invite you into an experience together. In your bag, there is a candle. You can pull those out. And you can turn them off if they're on. Spin them to the left just a little bit. And we're going to lower the house lights. But what I want you to do is I want you to spin them off. And I want you to think through these three points this morning. And in a moment, not now, in a moment, we're going to put it on the screen, what these responses are for you. But some of you are here this morning and your greatest thing that you needed to do today was to name your need. Like you just, that was the thing that you needed. God was really doing something in you as you wrote that thing down. And now that you've written it down, now that this is something that you've been willing to give language to and speak to, what you want to do is you actually want to submit that to God. In a moment, not now, in a moment, I want you to light your candle to signify, hey, that's me. I've got this need, and I need to get it out there. I need to give it to God. If that's you, in a moment, we're gonna light our candles together. Or maybe you're here this morning, and you've known what your need is for a long time. This is where I find myself. I've been knowing this issue with my own insecurities, and I keep submitting it to God daily. And I need to hear from God. Like if you're here this morning, you go, I know what my need is. I ask for God about it all the time, but I'm just not hearing him. God, I need you to speak, and I'm going to tune my ears to you, and I'm going to listen. If that's you in a moment, I want you to light your candle as an invitation for God to speak. And lastly, maybe you're here, and you've already heard. You know exactly what God is wanting you to do, but you have been paralyzed. You have just been shaking in your boots. God, I don't know. You're waiting for like the start gun to go off, and it went off like a couple years ago. It's time to go. He said it, now it's time to do it. And this morning, if that's you, you're gonna light your candle as a declaration that you're gonna do it. You're gonna say, I'm gonna make a declaration this morning on December 3rd. I'm gonna do that thing that God is calling me to do. So we're gonna light our candles at the count of three if you're in that first category. You can get ready. You spin it to the right on the bottom. If you're here this morning and the biggest need that you have is to just name that need. Maybe this was the first time or the first time in a long time that you've actually come face to face with what you have going on in your own heart and your soul. And the most liberating thing you could do is just confess that thing. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to light your light. One, two, three. If you're here this morning and you need to hark that herald, you need God to speak. You know what you need and you're waiting to hear God. You know he's heard you, but you're saying, God, I need to hear your voice. If you're inviting God to speak, at the count of three, I want you to light your candle. One, two, three. Here's the most dangerous part of the morning. You know exactly what God needs you to do, and you have not done it. Or you did it one time and you need to do it again. But if that's you and you want to declare this morning, I know what God needs me to do, I'm going to do it. If that's you, on the count of three, let's light together. One, two, three. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the wonderful counselor, the one who can sit with us in our time of need, God, that you will hear us and you know our cries. But God, you also love us enough to speak. And so, God, I pray that you hear our prayers this morning. God, that you hear us crying out to you, that you hear us saying, God, would you move, would you speak? And Lord, I pray for every single person who named their need, God, this morning, that you would move them to that next step, God, of being willing to listen to you, that you'd allow them to hear from you. And God, I pray for those who lit their candles and said, I need you to speak, God. We pray, Lord, that you'd speak so loudly, it'd be undeniable, unmissable. Give everybody a Laurel Miller. God, give everybody a church community. Give everybody a family. Give everybody a copy of the scriptures. Give everybody an ability to tune their ears to you and hear from you. And God, lastly, we pray for courage. We pray for every person who lit their candle and said, I know what you need me to do, God, I'm going to do it. God, we pray for courage. We pray for perseverance. We pray for endurance, God. We pray a mighty blessing over these people who are responding to your goodness and saying, God, I'm in. God, we pray that you go with them. And lastly, Lord, we pray for any person in this room who has never come face to face with you, who's never been able to call you a friend or Lord, become your child. God, we pray, Lord, that you would move and that they would hear from you this morning. They feel so called to yourself that you'd give them the courage to pursue you and step into a relationship with you.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.